First, what is your response to the Caps and Wizards comments about this deal being decisive politics? Do you think he was collateral damage in the process?
Well, if that's the case, then it rests squarely on the shoulders of the governor, who pretty much bottled this thing right from the very beginning. Because the governor knew that in order to get any kind of major project through the legislature, he had to deal with those of us who are co-equals with him in this process. That's number one. So it was up to the governor to get with those of us in the legislature, which he did not early on, because he announced that this was a done deal back in December. And in December, I was the incoming chair of Senate Finance and Appropriations because I had just gotten elected in November, and the governor knew that I was going to be coming in as the chair of Senate Finance and Appropriations. In December, there was no effort made for him to talk to us. The only thing Senator Locke and I received was a virtual with his Secretary of Finance, Secretary Cummins. Other than that, there was no conversation with us in December. Then in January, when we get to the session and all of the conversation starts about it, I just want to say to you that this has never been done in the history of the Commonwealth to use our bond rating and to take the faith, good faith and credit of the Commonwealth and put it behind a project like this. It never been done in the history of the Commonwealth. And there was no way that this Finance Committee was going to do that on our watch. Let's say, what would have happened if we would have 15 or more other projects to come through like that and wanting the same deal? What would have happened if we had 10 or 15 others to come behind them, even five, and they weren't able to live up to their commitment to pay off this debt? Then the Commonwealth of Virginia would be on the hook for it. No, we just weren't going to take that risk.
We now know that the governor vetoed a bill that would legalize recreational marijuana in the state, and it was reportedly attached to the Arena deal. Do you see that as retribution for him not getting his way?
Well, a lot of people will say that it was immature of him to do that. And of course, Senator Locke said that's the way people act when they can't get their way. But I rather expected him to do just what he did. So it came as no surprise to me because after having worked, well, I won't say worked with him because that hasn't been very fruitful, but after having been exposed to this governor for the last 2 years and 3 months or 4 months, he did exactly what I would have expected him to do. To retaliate in just that way. Because if he had legalized recreational sales of marijuana and it doesn't do what he says it's going to do, can you imagine a governor who says that marijuana is more dangerous than an AR-15? What the heck?
You mentioned about the whole thing about retribution. Could there have been a less contentiousness between yourself and the governor with this particular proposal? Was
I
that
would
reason?
say my answer to you would be is yes, and that is because from the very beginning, when he announced this as pretty much a done deal, he hadn't given any consideration to the fact that he needed to get through the legislature in order to get anything passed. And here I am coming in as the first African American woman in the history of this Commonwealth to ever chair Senate Finance and Appropriations. That was like he just totally and completely ignored the fact that I was even in place. But he can't get a job like this done without going through the legislature. So it was short-sighted on his part. And yes, I think it could have gone a whole lot smoother had he chosen to come and talk to us. Now, that's not to say that we would have gone with this recommendation of putting the good putting our bond rating at risk for this project. If that may not have happened, but at least we could have had a more cordial or civil dialogue about it.
Are you expecting any additional surprises when the General Assembly reconvenes next month?
Well, there's nothing that the governor can do that would surprise me. So I expect him to do whatever he's going to do. And then, based on our constitutional rights as the co-equal partner with him in this process, then we will do what we have to do. But no, there's nothing he can do that would surprise me.
I was told that J.B. Smith. I'm sorry, JBG Smith, one of the private partners behind the Arena deal, put out a statement blaming partisan politics and the influence of special interests for killing the proposal without mentioning your name. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I really don't have a whole lot of thought about it because I don't know why they would even let me just say this. People who are in leadership positions have fundraisers and lobbyists raise money for them because they know they've got the campaign to get reelected. Okay? Nobody ever said anything about fundraising on a part of any legislator until it got to be those of us who are in the leadership positions now not looking like Governor Youngkin. Let me be real plain and simple about it, okay? But my point is that there was no pay-to-play unless it was on the part of JBG offering to maybe give up part of their project to someone to deliver my vote. That was never going to happen. That sounded like a quid pro quo to me, and it was not going to happen.
What do you think the message is that you're sending to constituents and just, you know, the residents of Virginia about this deal and the back and forth with it?
Well, the one takeaway from this, I would say, is that the governor needed to have understood the process included the members of the legislature. He fumbled the ball in this particular case by not taking this to the legislators early and making the announcement in December like it was a done deal, without any collaboration with not only the members of the majority party, but even with his own party. The takeaway is that our job as elected official is to protect the taxpayers' dollars. And that's exactly what we did by not allowing the governor to steamroll us into backing this arena with the credit rating of the Commonwealth and our bond rating behind it. It's never been done before. And as long as we're in leadership, it's not going to be done ever.
And I'm sure, and I don't want to speak for you, but were you surprised at, you know, how this thing turned out?
No. And the reason I say that is because even though the governor gave the impression that this was the best thing that happened to Virginia ever, this deal that he negotiated, you notice that there was not a whole lot that was being said by other members of the legislature, and there would have been if they had disagreed with me. That was the message right there.
Mm-hmm. All right. I think, and one last thing, you know, you've had a stellar career of public service. What would you like your legacy to be in Virginia?
That I will stand always with the families of Virginia over any big business that's trying to use their taxpayers' dollars to enrich billionaires.